Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Vice President Harris and former President Trump are campaigning in battleground states, Trump in Georgia and North Carolina, Harris in Michigan. Starting next week, former President Obama will start campaigning for the Democratic ticket, starting off in Pittsburgh.
That kicks off what's expected to be a campaign blitz across the battleground states over the final 4 weeks of the election season. The former president spoke at the Democratic National Convention in August and held a fundraiser for Harris in September, but this will be a significant ramping up of his political activity for the Democratic ticket.
ABC's Karen Travers. Total deaths from Hurricane Helene now at least 215. Phone service and power outages continue to make it hard to contact those unaccounted for. Israel continuing air attacks on the main border crossing between Lebanon and Syria for tens of thousands of people fleeing. Israel says the crossing is also used by Hezbollah militants to move military equipment. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A former guard at the Waupun State Prison is pleading no contest to reduce charges in the deaths of two inmates last winter. Sarah Ransbottom did not do cell checks in February like she was supposed to. Nine Waupun staffers, including the former warden, are charged. Ripon is the birthplace of the Republican Party. It's also where Democrat Kamala Harris accepted former GOP Congresswoman Liz Cheney's endorsement yesterday.
We may not see eye to eye on every issue, and we are going to get back to a healthy two-party system. I am sure of that.
Cheney explained why she's voting for a Democrat for the first time in her life.
Donald Trump is not fit to lead this good and great nation.
Trump campaigns in Juneau Sunday. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. On Thursday, Minnesota Senators Amy Klobuchar and Tina Smith announced nearly $10 million in funding for the Duluth International Airport. $9.5 million of funding through the Airport Improvement Program will allow the Duluth Airport to rebuild about 11,000 feet of one of their taxiways. Airport officials say Taxiway A has reached the end of its useful life and no longer meets the required standards of the Federal Aviation Administration. The reconstruction project of the taxiway will be a multi-year process. City officials are asking residents to stay clear of Chester Creek following a sanitary sewer release. The city was notified of a backup near Kenwood Avenue and College Street at around 1 p.m. on Wednesday afternoon. When they arrived on the scene, they determined there was a sewer release occurring near the creek. Officials are not sure how much, if any, of the sewage made it into the creek and were still working to fully clear the blockage on Thursday. Community members should avoid the creek until further notice. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
Heartbreak in Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. The Brewers went into the ninth inning with a lead yesterday, but a three-run home run by Pete Alonso ended Milwaukee's season. This offseason, the Brewers could move on from Willie Adames, who should command strong interest in free agency.
Well, I can't tell you if I was that or not. I mean, I guess we have to wait, but you know, I would love to be here next year competing with my boys again. You know, it would be great. It would be special. I know the talent that we have in this clubhouse is something special.
Meanwhile, the Green Bay Packers will try to bounce back this week as they play the L.A. Rams on Sunday after losing last week to the Minnesota Vikings. Head coach Matt LaFleur said Jordan Love will be another week healthier this week after some struggles last week.
It's hard to go out there and when you just don't have a lot of practice or you have a lot of time off and expect to be at the top of your game.
Kickoff this Sunday against the Rams is after 3 p.m. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Civic Media Sports.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Not as cool tonight, mostly clear, low upper 40s. Mostly sunny, breezy, and warmer tomorrow, a high near 80. Maybe a storm tomorrow evening, staying sunny and breezy Sunday, but cooler, high low 60s. Next week starts out sunny and dry, high upper 60s. Currently, it's 66.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
Bringing a house of pain.
Backside pressure. Down he goes. Inside the 30-yard line.
To a game day near you.
Picked off by Wisconsin, and the Badgers win it.
That's how you create a program. That's how you create a team.
Join us Saturday. The Badgers return home to face the Boilermakers. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m. on your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on your local Civic Media radio station, 1260 AM, WLAK.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, National Security Leaders for America member Randy Manner joins us at 10:33 to talk about Project 2025. Pam Yonke in hour number two. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And thank you for listening to the Dom Salvia Show. Happy Friday to us all. 855-752-4842. It is a text line. It's usually a phone line.
Not at the moment.
No, we're having some phone challenges today. So, folks,
text us.
Thank you for putting up with us. You can text us once again, 855-752-4842. I'm sure the Civic Media crack team is going to be on this right away and get us all squared away. In the meantime, let's see. We do have some texters. Just tried my cell phone. Don't think the phones are working. Yeah, thank you, Mark. You're absolutely right. Thanks for being against the lead pipes in Milwaukee. It's time to get the lead out. What's the solution? In Madison, Steady Eddie had to pay half the cost replacing the lead pipes. Coming to the house was not cheap. As mentioned in the last hour, President Joe Biden coming to Milwaukee on Tuesday. Going to talk about the money allocated for removing the lead pipes in Milwaukee. The number, I believe, was about $800 million it will take to do so. And my understanding per Eddie, yes, some of that cost is bared, depending on if it's the lateral or the main lines and who bears the cost of that. It's a lot of money. Talk about infrastructure. So Biden will be here to talk about the Bipartisan Infrastructure Act, I believe, that dedicated some money, I think, specifically to Wisconsin, about $200 million. The mayor of Milwaukee said he hopes to get this all done in the next 20 years. But I think I heard something, Mayor of Milwaukee, maybe 20 years, say something like that as well. So let's get the lead out, please. I mean, drinking out of lead pipes, I think we knew that was a bad thing from the Roman Empire. I mean, this isn't anything. I think we knew about this for a while.
I don't know necessarily the Roman Empire, but we've definitely known for long enough that this should no longer be a problem.
Right. We do have the agricultural secretary, Tom Vilsack, former governor of Iowa. He's going to join us at the bottom of the hour. But let's get back to some of the headlines and, you know, talking about Joe Biden and the leadership. Yes, I said it. The leadership. Of course, the most courageous thing Joe Biden ever did was withdraw from the presidential race. A selfless act, it's hard to even fathom what it would take in that position to walk away. And he knew it was the right thing to do. Yeah, was he pressured? Maybe. But is the pressure, did he succumb to the pressure? Well, no one could make Joe Biden do that. Only Joe Biden could make Joe Biden do that. And he made the right call. And so now we've seen a lot of Harris and all the political and all that thing, all the race, you know, 32 days or 31 days and counting. It's coming quick. But he's still the president. And there's still things going on, and we're going to get to some of those issues right now. Specifically, a topic we had earlier this week regarding the port strike. Apparently, we had a little pause in that, and here's what the Washington Post is reporting. It was a stark ultimatum delivered by President Joe Biden's most senior aide. At 5:30 a.m. Thursday, before the sun had risen above his Washington home, White House Chief of Staff Jeff Zients was on a Zoom call with two cabinet secretaries and the executives of the shipping companies negotiating with workers who had gone on strike at critical docks along the East and Gulf Coasts, according to two people familiar with the matter. With the nation's economy and much of the president's legacy hanging in the balance just weeks before the election, White House Chief Economist Lyle Brainard told management they needed to come up with a new offer to the striking longshoremen. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg stressed that Hurricane Helene magnified the importance of a deal. Labor Secretary Julie Hsu expressed optimism that the union would agree to a temporary extension if raises were included. Then a surprising move. As the call was wrapping up, Zients told the board members of the U.S. Maritime Alliance that he was going to tell Biden in about an hour that they had agreed to propose a new offer to the union. By that point, the shipping executives had agreed to do no such thing. Zients was saying they would. "I need the offer today, not tomorrow. Today," he said on the call. "I'm going to brief the president in an hour that you believe you can get this done today." It's a little pressure campaign, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a ballsy move there. Less than 12 hours later, White House officials were celebrating a deal to reopen the ports until January, postponing the issue until after this November's election. The agreement provides collective, if temporary, relief to skittish Democrats from the White House to Capitol Hill while buoying Vice President Kamala Harris along with Friday's strong jobs report. But the resolution of the strike also highlights Biden's distinctive approach to labor unrest, one that has defied even his Democratic predecessors and sparked unease in some parts of the party. Even as White House officials claim vindication about their strategy, questions persist about whether Biden's pro-union advocacy will be codified as the new Democratic approach or represents a rare aberration in a long bipartisan tradition of siding more closely with management. Again, Joe Biden, the most pro-union president in our history. I mean, the guy walked the strike line, the picket line, with workers. No other president has ever done that. And it still befuddles me to why these union folks, if labor is your issue, and obviously there's lots of issues, and just because you're in a union or just because labor is one of your issues, I certainly understand, doesn't mean that's the only issue. But if you're in a union, it's kind of a big issue. You know what I'm saying? And Trump isn't the guy. Trump's the guy that's like lamenting having to pay overtime to people.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the Washington Post continues. The agreement reached Thursday provides a 62% increase in wages for dock workers extends other terms of the current contract until January 15th. The International Longshoremen's Association, the ILA, initially demanded 77% wage hikes, but has moderated its request. Numerous difficult sticking points could scuttle a deal before the new January deadline, but if the deal holds, the pay gains amount to a $24 an hour bump at the top pay rate over 6 years. Now, business groups and even some Democratic allies had wanted Biden to invoke the Taft-Hartley Act of 1947 to force an end to the strike through a federal injunction. Biden and his team both publicly and privately promised not to go that route, insisting that the owners needed to reach a deal with the union and highlighting their corporate profits since the end of the coronavirus pandemic. The strategy reflected Biden's personal determination to support labor, even amid immense political pressure. And I would say again, and I would say still, I would say continuing. By bluntly and unmistakably declaring he would not seek an injunction under Taft-Hartley, the president created space for collective bargaining and made clear they would have to reach a deal, said Seth Harris, who served as Biden's top labor advisor for much of his term. This has been a formula Biden has followed since very early on in his presidency, and it has worked in most cases. Now, the White House strategy is not without its critics, both among Democrats and Republicans, who consider it far too deferential to labor unions. Biden has vowed to be the most pro-union president in U.S. history, and some economists have said that that goal often undermines other priorities. Biden has backed union requirements on federal building projects, which some critics say drive up federal costs, and defended the Jones Act, a shipping law that critics say makes good more expensive in Puerto Rico. He became the first president last year to join a picket line speaking to striking United Auto Workers members, as mentioned. A strike could have left some store shelves empty just before the election appeared to epitomize concerns that Biden sided too firmly with labor. It does seem to me they're playing with fire here, pushing this negotiation and the nation's supply chains to the brink in the hope of a breakthrough is a real risk and suggests they're over-prioritizing the labor vote over everyone else in the U.S. economy, said a vice president at the Cato Institute, a libertarian-leaning think tank. Well, yeah, I mean, of course it's a risk. The guy said, I'm going to tell the president you have an answer and you're going to do it, and they did do it. Now, the contract dispute pitted some 45,000 dock workers led by a fiery third-generation New Jersey longshoreman, Harold Daggett, against the chief executives of global shipping lines based in Europe and Asia. The container lines had reaped hundreds of billions of dollars in profits during the pandemic, and the longshoremen were ready to fight for their share of the bounty. Biden had been tracking the strike since September and directed his team after a September 26th meeting to tell both sides to negotiate in good faith. So there we go. Some leadership from Joe Biden on this issue. And again, we're not done yet. The longshoremen, they did come down on their rate request, their increase, to 60-some percent from 77%. And as noted, these shipping companies based in Europe and Asia making billions and billions and billions of dollars. We have some sound of Joe Biden on this very topic. If you would, please, just you did the hard work. Let's hear what Biden had to say. Cut number one, please.
Just yesterday, shipping carriers, after some discussion, an international longshoremen union came to an agreement to keep ports in the East Coast and the Gulf ports open.
Yeah. Cut two, please, Jess.
We averted what could have become a major crisis for the country. And a tentative agreement, which includes record wage increases for dock workers and shows the importance of collective bargaining and represents, I think, critical progress toward a strong contract.
Yes, well done. Joe Biden, the president, also had comments regarding the jobs report, 254,000 new jobs created last month, an upward revision from the month before. As well, plus a 0.4% increase in wage growth for the month, a 4% year-over-year increase, easily outpacing inflation at 2.5%. Those are all good numbers, folks. You want to hear that? This is what the kind of economy we want. Let's keep that trend line going. Here's what the president had to say. Cut three, please.
Across the board, unemployment is down 4 to 4.1%, and every month, in fact, that Vice President Harris and I have been in office, we've created jobs every single month.
Every single month. And I think
every single month.
Every single month. And I, if I recall, and it's going back some time, but the Obama administration also had, I mean, what's many, 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 many months of continued job creation, job growth that the Trump administration inherited.
Indeed.
And didn't just, you know, Donald Trump did not just all of a sudden create jobs. And again, this is not uncommon. Obviously, any new administration has to deal with the legacy of the previous administration in many aspects. And unfortunately, lots of the time when the previous administration happens to be a Republican administration, usually those Democratic administrations have to hustle and work hard to try to overcome, you know, the terrible governance left by the last administration. We got time for any more of these cuts on the jobs report?
Not in this segment.
Oh, okay. All right, folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. The phone lines having a little difficulties with those, but the text, they're
we're
still
working. We're working on it.
Yeah, we see you, Cam. That's not the kind of text I'm looking for. 855-752-4842. And don't forget, Agricultural Secretary Tom Vilsack going to join us at the bottom of the hour.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Progressive presents 10 things on a plumber's to-do list that are harder than getting a small business insurance quote. Waking up for 5 a.m. plumbing disasters, finding out why water is pouring from the ceiling, replacing a pipe in a home from the 1800s, then dealing with invoices or your awkward apprentice or that really weird smell, and then there's breathing and eating and, of course, clogs. But the easiest thing on any small business owner's to-do list? Seeing if you could save on the business insurance that's right for you. Get a quote in as little as 7 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company. Coverage provided and serviced by affiliated and third-party insurers.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot.
Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was when they moved the camera. Whenever it's the red alert. That,
right.
Yeah. That was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to fake.
Right. Lean left. Straight. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
The green and gold tailgating, the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965, following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. The phone lines are back. They're working. Thank you to the Civic Media Crack Engineering Team and a reboot by Jess. We are back in business. 855-752-4842. Call now because we have a guest coming, the Secretary of Agriculture, Tom Vilsack, at the bottom of the hour. He'll be calling that same number. So don't worry, Tom. It's all working. It's all good. We're talking about Vice President had a little presser today. I was talking about the ports being open and then reflecting on the new jobs report, 254,000 new jobs, income growth up at 4% year over year, 0.4% for the month. These are good numbers. Hope you're all getting those raises, folks. He had a couple more comments on the jobs report. If you would, please, just let's do cut number three from Joe Biden.
Across the board, unemployment is down 4 to 4.1%, and every month that Vice President Harris and I have been in office, we've created jobs every single month.
Every single month. Let's play the next one. Cut four.
The nation has now created 16 million jobs since I've come to office. More jobs created in a single presidential term than any time in American history.
And there's lies, damn lies, and statistics. That is an accurate number, and I believe those numbers. Of course, a lot of those jobs were, coming out of the pandemic. But they happened under this administration, so he gets to count them. And just like the job loss, again, knowing that it happened during a pandemic, happened under the Trump administration, but that's how it works. You get the credit, you get the blame, whether it's deserved or not. Record job creation numbers under Joe Biden. Say it with me, MAGA. Let's do one more from the president. Cut number five.
If you notice, anything the MAGA Republicans don't like, they call fake. Anything. The job numbers are what the job numbers are. They're real. They're sincere.
But don't listen to J.D. Vance on this topic, who says that all these jobs were, from illegal immigrants. Harris's economy has been an unmitigated disaster. This is what happens when you bring in 20 million low-wage workers. The American people get screwed. Again, that's his response to this excellent job numbers.
Oh, man, there's
report.
More jobs. It's a terrible thing.
All right. 855-752-4842. The lines are working. Welcome back. We're alive, Cam. You're up. Welcome, Cam. What do you got for us?
Hey, I wanted to mention how those job statistics are collected. They do a survey, they being the, I think the federal government, one of the branches does it.
The BLS does it.
Sorry, one of the departments does it. BLS, yep. Sorry, I couldn't remember the acronym. You know, the damn feds and their acronym.
Yeah, all the letters.
They do a, the survey is like called CPS something survey, and they send out, they question or survey 60,000 people each month. And when they do that, they collect the information that they need to generate the job report. Now, in 2022, that's the last time that I saw a number that I can reference. In 2022, 3.3% of the United States population was made up with undocumented immigrants. So Vance's argument that they are all taken by illegals is nonsense. I mean, yeah. We know that, right? Yeah. But yeah. This is numbers you can throw back at someone's face. Are they seriously trying to spin the argument then that 60,000 people that were interviewed were all illegal immigrants, in their words? I
mean, if you take what Vance said at face value, that's exactly what he's saying. Of course, that's not at all the case. It could not be the case. Thank you for the call, Cam, and good point. Another issue with the way that this data is collected, we talk about these revisions, and some of the folks are very, well, they were shocked, I tell you, shocked, that there was, well, $500,000 or $800,000 revision down recently. And there was like a $400,000 or $500,000 revision down during the Trump administration. A lot of folks don't fill out the surveys, you know, so, it, you know, garbage in, garbage out. And then you finally actually get the real hiring numbers, and then you have to do the revisions. And it can be up, it can be down. Last month, it was revised up. So it Bureau of Labor and Statistics, it's in the title. This is how we do it. And these are the numbers, and this is the process that we go through. There are revisions up or down, and either way you look at it, this is a good jobs number. Mark from the SAC, you're next. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Yeah, it's fascinating. I wonder what Vance would do if somebody actually confronted him out in the on the public when he goes in some place to try to talk smart, and somebody actually confronts him and actually uses some non-SEC compliant language with the man when he's actually, you know, dealing his BS out to them. Yeah, you know, I put it on the Facebook page, but I, you know, sent another letter to the State Journal kind of saying a lot of what I've been saying all along and what Liz Cheney said yesterday about fidelity to the Constitution. I maintain that even if you're in public office, even your private acts should be in conformity with the Constitution, because that as all others should be, that you know, as citizens, you know, we have a, you know, you want us to have a duty to uphold our Constitution as well. And for J.D. Vance to be involved in this stuff is that the guy is just, he's actually forsworn for his oath already by saying, I wouldn't support the results of the election. I support Donald Trump.
It is already disqualifying, Mark. No question about the fact that he would say he would do what Mike Pence wouldn't do. And there's a reason. There's a couple reasons why J.D. Vance is the candidate for vice president on the Republican ticket. Number one. Mm-hmm. They wanted to hang Mike Pence.
Right.
I mean, right. The dude's new nickname was Hang Mike Pence. Isn't that Trump's? What was
so
Trump's
what?
Right? So what? Hey, Mr. President, they had to take the vice president to a secure location. I remember seeing the video. They had Mike Pence and his brother was with him, too. I thought
he had his whole family.
Yes, I thought it might have been a body double because you're two guys with white hair. I'm like, Do they have a body double? I mean, this is really weird to me. But apparently it was his brother, also an elected official, my understanding. So J.D. Vance will do what Mike Pence would not do. And that is the other reason why he is on the ticket. And again, let's not forget, he did say once again yesterday, when asked, did Donald Trump win or lose the last election? Did he win? He said, yes. Donald Trump won 2020. Yes. So there you go. So when a guy like that comes out and says, well, all this job numbers, just all these illegal aliens getting hired, you know, look at his credibility, look at his track record. Was he lying about the last thing? Is he lying about this thing? Yeah, probably. Secretary of Agriculture, Tom Vilsack, coming next.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin school superintendent wants more to be done about cybersecurity. Jill Underley led a roundtable discussion on the topic yesterday. Cyber criminals are targeting school districts in Wisconsin and around the country. The White House says the federal government needs to be part of the solution. Outbreaks of food poisoning can be scary, but there are steps you can take. Jovana Kovacevic is an expert on listeria. She says people should store meat at the right temperature and cook it thoroughly.
Certain foods are higher risk foods, and if you're in that vulnerable group, you want to avoid those foods. We really need to do better to engage consumers.
A recent listeria outbreak linked to deli meat killed 10 people and made 59 other people sick across the country. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. As temperatures start to cool off for good in the area, pest control specialists are sharing tips on how to keep little critters out of your home. With the colder weather, pests like bees, mice, and spiders may start to look for ways into your home as they seek shelter in warmer areas. Specialists say the best way to keep those critters out is to take preventative steps early, like ensuring windows and pipes around the home are sealed. Experts also recommend traps and chemical deterrents if those critters keep finding ways inside. A burglary suspect was arrested at a popular Duluth restaurant on Thursday morning. According to the Duluth Police Department, officers responded to the burglary call at Bridgman's restaurant at around 6:15 a.m. on Thursday. When they arrived, they noticed a broken window from the street and cleared the building before taking the 44-year-old man into custody. He was taken to a local hospital for evaluation before being taken to the St. Louis County Jail on burglary and property damage charges. The restaurant reopened shortly after. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Schwabba. Kevin Smith fans have been wondering if there will be a Mallrats sequel for going on 30 years. Well, wonder no more. While discussing his new film, The 4:30 Movie, Smith told the New York Post there will definitely be a Mallrats sequel. The director says he spoke about the sequel with Shannon Doherty before she passed away from cancer. He says Doherty was all on board with the project, and she even told him she would go to the studio with Smith and play the cancer card to get it made if she had to. If you watch any TV at all, you've seen one of Ryan Murphy's shows. His latest is Monsters, about the Menendez brothers on Netflix. His new legal drama is All's Fair. The project took a hit when Halle Berry left, but there is no shortage of actors who want to work. Variety reports that Ed O'Neill will join the cast of the show that follows a divorce attorney at an all-female law firm. The show also stars Naomi Watts, Glenn Close, and Kim Kardashian. O'Neill is best known for his work on Married with Children and Modern Family. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Not as cool tonight, mostly clear, low upper 40s. Mostly sunny, breezy, and warmer tomorrow, a high near 80. Maybe a storm tomorrow evening, staying sunny and breezy Sunday, but cooler, high low 60s. Next week starts out sunny and dry, high upper 60s. It's 65 right now.
Badger fans, Wisconsin men's basketball tips off the 24-25 season November 4th with new names and new conference opponents. Whether you're looking for season tickets, five-game packages, or single-game options, we've got something to fit your schedule. Now's the time to secure your seats for an exciting season of Badger men's basketball. For more information and to grab your tickets, visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Peach Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Old World Wisconsin's Maria Comiskey for some Freaky Friday talk. And it's a bar band Friday night, which means Terry Barr joins us with excellent tunes.
Nightlight with Peach Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Super jazzed to introduce to you right now the Secretary of Agriculture, Tom Vilsack. Tom, welcome to the show.
Oh, it's great to be with you. Thanks for the opportunity.
I certainly appreciate it, Tom. Current Secretary of Agriculture, former Governor of Iowa, you know something about the rural vote. Tom, I want to talk about the campaign, the Harris Walz campaign, their efforts to entice the rural vote to come to their side. Tom, what do you think needs to be done, the success stories that needs to happen for the Harris campaign to be successful in attracting the rural vote, sir?
Well, I think basically the Vice President and Governor Walz are doing four things that I think are important. First of all, they themselves are actually traveling in and speaking to rural voters directly, which I think is incredibly important. Secondly, I think they've got a campaign that has broader appeal than the Trump campaign, as witnessed by Liz Cheney's appearance yesterday and the vast number of former Trump officials that have endorsed the Harris-Walz ticket. Third, I think they've got policies that speak directly to the economic interests of rural voters, particularly young people who are looking and thinking about that first home purchase, senior citizens who want to control their drug costs, for example.
Yeah.
And then finally, they have established a fairly significant ground game in those rural communities by opening up offices where they've never had Democratic offices before. 16,000 volunteers in Wisconsin knocking on doors, 750,000 doors knocked on. That's neighbor to neighbor, friend to friend, talking about a campaign. That's a formula for success.
Yeah, those are certainly big numbers. Liz Cheney in Ripon, Wisconsin yesterday, Tom. You know, this coalition being put together, as I heard it described, you know, a coalition of Liz and Dick Cheney and then Senator Bernie Sanders. What do you think the appeal is for folks in this group?
Well, I think the appeal is love of country. The fact that we are a country that is doing something that no other country has ever done before. Government for and by the people, a constitution that is the hallmark, the bulwark, the foundation of our country. And I think what unites these individuals from different political spectrum is a respect of and a love for the Constitution and the awareness and knowledge that former President Trump has no regard for the Constitution, doesn't believe that he's bound by it. Is willing to ignore it, is willing to essentially turn his back on it. And certainly that was reflected in his attitude on January 6th. And so that basically overrides any other concern or difference of opinion you may have on an issue here or there. If you don't understand and respect the Constitution, the whole process falls apart. You got to respect the Constitution. You have to understand the peaceful transfer of power. If you don't understand that, then you have no right to want to occupy 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Tom Vilsack, Secretary of Agriculture, for just a few more minutes. Tom, it's not like the Harris-Walz campaign has to, you know, get everybody that lives in the rural area onto their side. If they can just get into the margins and get some of those folks over to their side, that can have a big influence on the election. What do you think the rural voters, the agricultural-type voters, what specific needs do you think that they have in their categories that might be different from your everyday other voter?
Well, I can't speak specifically to agriculture because that would violate
Certainly.
The Hatch Act, and I can't do that. I'm appearing in my personal capacity. But let me talk about the issues that matter to rural voters generally. Yeah. I mentioned housing costs.
Yeah.
Look, every mom and dad wants their kids to be able to stay and live in a rural community where they grew up. And those rural kids want to be able to do that, but the reality is they can't afford the down payment on a house. They can't establish roots in that town. A down payment assistance program along the lines of what the vice president has proposed will make a difference in terms of that family being able to continue to live, work, and raise children and grandchildren in that community. If you're a senior citizen in a rural community, you are deeply concerned about the Affordable Care Act and the protections it's providing and the opportunity for drug costs to be constrained. If you basically are going to repeal or replace or come in with a different program that's going to eliminate the protections of the Affordable Care Act, you as a senior citizen will be forced to go back to the day where you had to choose whether you're going to pay rent, buy food, or pay for that prescription drug that's keeping you alive. Those are real life consequences to policies. And I think rural voters understand and appreciate that. And I think, frankly, I think people understand and appreciate the rule of law. I think we're pretty focused on law-abiding citizens, and we're pretty focused on respecting those who serve in uniform. I don't think we see those who serve in uniform, those who sacrificed the ultimate and paid the ultimate price, as suckers or losers, as former President Trump has suggested some of our most heroic people have been. I don't think that just rubs people the wrong way, and I don't think it's particularly appealing to rural voters who send their sons and daughters in disproportionate numbers into the military. So I think it's a broad array of issues, a broader way of arguments that can be made that will squeeze the margin in those rural areas, and that is incredibly important in terms of success in a state like Wisconsin.
Tom, appreciate your time. I have one last question for you. Well, one statement, first of all, with regard to the ACA. You know, we hear the former president has the concept of a plan, not something you can necessarily take to the bank. I grew up on my neighbor's dairy farm, Tom, so I understand some of the challenges. And, you know, a lot of the kids growing up, it's hard work. They don't want to stay on the farm. So there, a lot of the labor becomes immigrant labor. Some of that immigrant labor, a big chunk of it here in the state of Wisconsin, is not, quote unquote, legal immigrant labor. But these folks are coming in and doing the hard jobs and doing the hard work on the farms. What do you think should be done, or how should it be, the immigration be addressed as it pertains to the labor in these rural areas and in the farms?
Well, I can't speak again to the farm piece of it, but I can talk about other industries that are dependent on that labor force.
Sure.
You know, whether it's restaurants or hotels or entertainment venues, they just won't exist unless you have a labor force who's willing to do the hard work. And the reality in suggesting that the answer here is to deport everyone, well, that's just not going to happen. We know that it's not going to happen. It's just kind of like suggesting you're going to build a wall and have Mexico pay for it. That didn't happen either. Here's what does have to happen, and the vice president's been very clear about this. You got to secure the border, and the fact is, border crossings are down significantly, and certainly down significantly, even in comparison to during the Trump 4 years of Trump. You got to secure the border. You have to increase the investment in border security, but you also have to provide a legitimate, legalized pathway for people to enter this country so that we continue to have the labor force that you mentioned. Here's what I know, and here's what people need to understand. These people come in and they actually do the work, the hard work, mm-hmm. the difficult work that not very many people want to do, number one. Number two, they go home every night tired after doing those jobs. They look at their kids and they basically say to their kids, whatever you do, don't do what I'm doing. Do something better. And you know what? The kids do something better. They go to school, they go to college, they form a business, they become professionals. It is the secret, sort of the secret sauce of America, is that basically we have people coming in with a dream that their kids and grandkids are going to have a better life. And they sacrifice for those kids and grandkids. And those kids and grandkids basically do what their parents ask them to do. They basically do a little bit better. And that's what's made this country so unique. And it's one of the engines that drives innovation, that drives our ability to be a world leader, is that we've got people who are willing to work hard and to challenge their kids to do better.
Tom Vilsack, Secretary of Agriculture, former governor of Iowa. Appreciate your time, sir. The American dream, it is a thing, a nation of immigrants. Thank you so much, Tom.
You're right. Thank you.
Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show. You can join us 855-752-4842. I appreciate Tom. We only had a limited time with him. And I get, you know, you can't specifically talk about, you know, the Hatch Act and being in agriculture. But the labor thing is a big deal here in the state of Wisconsin. You know, the dairy farms, it is, you know, the cows, they got to get milked. Two, three times a day. I guess it depends on the strategy of the farmer. Back when I was working on the neighbor's farm, it was twice a day, 5 o'clock in the morning and 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Last I was at State Fair, they said it was three times a day.
Some did it three times a day as well. I mean, man, that's a lot. And when you're talking about a family farm, and the farm that I worked on was a family farm, and they had probably 110, 120 milking cows. And then there were, you know, the calves and the heifers and one bull. They had a breeder service, and then you had to feed them, and you got to clean, and you got to, you know, get the corn and the hay and it's just nonstop. So if you want to, you know, if you want to go up to Waupaca Chain of Lakes for the afternoon, well, good luck. You better leave at like 10 because you got to get back at 5 because you got to milk the cows again, or you got to have someone, you know, back you up. And that's, of course, what my job was as the farm hand. I was backing up the youngest kid who did, once he turned 18, wanted nothing to do with the farm. So to Tom's point, not just in agriculture, but certainly in the restaurant business and entertainment, meatpacking. And I mean, come on. People want to work, make some money, and live a life and live the American dream. And it's not just an American dream. I know we think like we're the only people that want this. But, you know, I think most of humanity wants to be able to have a roof over their head and feed their family and live a safe and secure life. You know, practice their own religion and engage in their own songs and do their own their culture and all these things that everybody has that, man. Everyone has that desire. I mean, how do you don't start a family and have children and not think like that to support and to supply and to be there for them and want more for them than what you had. I mean, this is a dream. It is a goal. It is the betterment of society. And yes, here in this country, a nation of immigrants to achieve and to go for that kind of a dream, that concept that, you know, we can do better. We can, our kids can do better, and we can all do better. It's not unique necessarily to this country. Now, the opportunities, you know, what makes this country unique? Well, it is the opportunity, and it is the constitutional order that the laws will be enforced against everybody and for everybody. Not that there's, you know, tiers of systems. Now, granted, lots of these issues, lots of these things, we fall woefully short, and so it's a continual improvement. One thing is to recognize the failures and the faults and try to address them. You know, first thing you got to do is recognize it. So, you know, I'm not going to sit here and give you the entire history of this country, but certainly we have failed in parts here and there. We continue to. But there's also successes, of course. That's what keeps us going. It keeps the American dream going. If you have the ability to worship how you want or not at all, like me, without interference from anybody else. I mean, what a concept that you have the ability to walk down the street without harassment. Because you don't look the same or you love differently. I mean, these things are important. I mean, if you don't have security and safety, do you really, really even have the freedom? I don't know if you do. And that is not unique to this country. And we are a country of immigrants. So to all of a sudden decide and blame the entirety of the nation's woes on, quote unquote, illegal immigration. Oh, it's not just illegal because you have temporary protected status like the Haitians do in Springfield, Ohio. Well, they're legal, right? Temporary protected status. That's how it is. Haitians, pretty crazy place right now. A lot of folks getting killed down there. Yeah, they want to come here and work and live and raise their families like everybody else. What would Donald Trump do to these folks that are here just living their lives, not eating the pets, not eating the dogs, not eating the cats? Trump and Vance, that's not happening. Those are lies. How dare you? They just want to sit here and live their lives, man, like everybody else, and filling jobs that your kids aren't doing, that you're not doing, J.D. Vance, that you're not doing, Donald Trump. Shame on you all. That's terrible. So, yeah, we got lots of things to work on in this country. And to embrace our working migrants with open arms and get them above board, get them out of the shadows and into the light and with us because they're here, man. They're here, and a lot of them are working for conservatives. They're going to vote for Trump. Who, if Trump had his way, would take their labor force away? It's just, the whole thing is kind of just beyond me. So we do appreciate Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack coming around. We're going to appreciate you sticking around as well. One final segment? Oh, my goodness. Time
flies.
Where
does it go?
855-752-4842. A couple of an endorsement for Harris on the other side, plus your calls.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
I don't know about other states, but in Wisconsin, we help our neighbors and love our communities. But California mega millionaire Eric Hovde doesn't seem to get that. Maybe that's why he questioned whether children should be able to stay on their parents' insurance until they're 26. And whether people in nursing homes should be able to vote. Hovde called for raising the retirement age for hardworking Wisconsinites and making obese people pay more for health care. And a Hovde company even spent decades trying to demolish the building housing Madison's oldest family-owned bar, something they finally did this year, shuttering a treasured neighborhood institution for good. That is not how we do things in Wisconsin. And that is why we can't let California mega millionaire Eric Hovde represent us. Paid for by a Better Wisconsin Together Action. ABWT-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on Lake Air 107.5 FM and 1260 AM WLAK. And on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Congresswoman Summer Lee.
The American Stability Act doesn't just address the need for raising of the wage. The second thing is that tax reform piece, shifting the burden from the folks who are working class to the not just the 1%, the 0.01% of people who have seen so many benefits in this rigged system, and we have to start to unrig it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Last segment of the day. Happy Friday to us all. 855-752-4842. Callers, be patient. We will get to you. It's a talk line. It's a text line. But we do have an endorsement that I wanted to get out there. The boss. Bruce Springsteen has made an endorsement. He put this one out on the Twitters. We pulled it. Jess, thank you for your hard work today. Let's hear what the man has to say.
Absolutely.
Donald Trump is the most dangerous candidate for president in my lifetime. His disdain for the sanctity of our Constitution, the sanctity of democracy, the sanctity of the rule of law, and the sanctity of the peaceful transfer of power should disqualify him from the office of president ever again. He doesn't understand the meaning of this country, its history, or what it means to be deeply American. On the other hand, Kamala Harris and Tim Walz are committed to a vision of this country that respects and includes everyone, regardless of class, religion, race, your political point of view, or sexual identity. And they want to grow our economy in a way that benefits all, not just a few like me on top. That's the vision of America I've been consistently writing about for 55 years. Now, everybody sees things different, and I respect your choice as a fellow citizen. But like you, I've only got one vote, and it's one of the most precious possessions that I have. That's why, come November 5th, I'll be casting my vote for Kamala Harris and Tim Walz.
The boss, Bruce Springsteen, supporting Harris and Walz campaign. And, you know, he's always been, you know, the songs that he's written. And, the guy's rich as hell, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's been a very successful musician and artist. But you know, the songs resonate, you know, about working folks and, yeah, you know, those kinds of things. And I remember when Born in the USA was out, and I was working on the neighbor's farm, and local radio station. I mean, come on, you couldn't
get you going at 4 a.m.
You couldn't turn it off. I mean, all the hits that came off of that, it was always on the radio. It was always getting played in the farmhouse, you know, and it was played in the shops and in the manufacturing facility. I mean, these songs resonated, and they were, you know, geared towards that blue collar working class kind of folks. And to hear him and also to recognize that he's a wealthy man.
Right.
And by rights, if he was going to work on his vote for his own self-interest, yeah, a guy like Donald Trump would probably be your vote. If you're Bruce Springsteen, hundreds of millions of dollars, and I don't know how much, but I did see Pink Floyd just sold their album record collection for like $400 million. So
damn.
I don't know what Bruce is getting or what he's got, but it's a lot. If Bruce was to vote in his own best interest, it would be for Donald Trump. It would be for those lower taxes. As mentioned, the American University went through both Donald Trump and Kamala Harris's plans. Donald Trump would decrease the GDP. Kamala Harris's would increase the GDP. Donald Trump would increase the wealth gap. Donald Harris's plan would not. I mean, there are very specific differences in those plans. And if you're a rich person, well, if you're greedy and rich and you don't want to pay any more taxes, I mean, who wants to pay taxes? Get that. But then it's Donald. And for a guy like Bruce to come out and say that and acknowledge his own wealth and acknowledge the sanctity of the vote, you get one vote. And it matters. You only get one. And he's voting for Harris. And I suggest you all do the same. We've got a couple more here quickly before we get to the callers at 855-752-4842. Liz Cheney in Ripon yesterday. Just a couple want to highlight. We did have special coverage here at Civic Media with that. But let's hear a couple of the highlights. Please cut one.
He is petty. He is vindictive. And he is cruel. And Donald Trump is not fit to lead this good and great nation.
Amen, sister. Here, cut two, please.
As someone who reveres our Constitution, I am honored to join her in this urgent cause.
And Liz Cheney endorsing Kamala Harris, cut three.
I have never voted for a Democrat, but this year I am proudly casting my vote for Vice President Kamala Harris.
I appreciate Liz Cheney's support for Harris, but I got to tell you, the Bruce endorsement gets me a little bit more. 855-752-4842. Born in the USA, Tim from New Berlin. You're up. You'll have the last word today, Tim. Thank you. What do you got?
Yeah, just a couple of things. First of all, I've worked with a lot of legal and illegal immigrants. I'll give them the credit. They are the hardest working people I know. Give you that. But I'm a history and economics major. When you don't enforce the borders, you fail to be a country at all. Our country, throughout the years, has determined how many people we want in. We didn't just let them in. We had Ellis Island. They had to come in legally, okay? And we didn't create a bad bill that got bombed because we won't even enforce anything until you hit 5,000 illegals or 10,000 illegals a week, okay? That's number one. Number two, I'm going to defend a caller from 2 or 3 weeks ago where you were mocking him because he wasn't really able to articulate socialism and Kamala Harris, by the way.
Kamala Harris is a communist, man? Is that what you're telling me, Tim? You believe that?
She's a socialist. She wants to confiscate and redistribute wealth.
Based on what policy? Hang on. I hear you saying that, but where? Yeah. What policy?
I got it. Raising taxes on the rich.
Tax rates go up and down, man. That's not wealth redistribution. That's just life, folks. This is the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you, Tim. I hope you call again, man. I want to get into this more with you. Folks, have a wonderful weekend. Appreciate you listening. We'll be back on Monday. Pete Schwabba, Nightlight, coming up next.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll look back at the weekend happenings news-wise and also a little sports and get you ready for the week ahead. Don't miss it. Join us right here on Civic Media.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
She is performing in Wisconsin. Charo, you might want to end up moving here because you're going to have that great of a time in Baraboo. Let me just ask you this. Do you like cheese?
I love the cheese. I'm going to be eating cheese for 24 hours. It's a great... Not really. You have a great reputation with the cheese. Wisconsin cheese is very, very famous.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.